end of Bamidbar, goes into the conquer of Eretz Yisrael. Kibush. Milchemet Shiva Amimim, the seven nations. Kipshuto, when you look at it, it would seem that it's all about kibush, conquer. They had to get Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem wanted that they should go and conquer kibush. Kibush is one of the kinyanim of how a person gets somebody else's land. Kibush milchama, it's called. Kibush is conquest. And with conquest, you're kone other people's land. The truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given us Eretz Yisrael with no fighting whatsoever. If it's a question of kinyanim, we have the first Rashi in Bereshit. The Rashi says that if the goyim say we took, not true. Hashem created Eretz Yisrael, and He gave it to us. So He could have given it to us without even having us to pick up a gun. And of course, in those days there was no gun, so it's just an expression, but a sword, we would have to just walk in and take it. What's the inyan of milchama? Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu take Jewish people, who are anshei shalom, people of peace? You know, imagine Gedolei Yisrael. Take, by the Ashkenazim, let's say you have Rav Eliashiv, by the Sfaradim, Rav Avadi Yosef. Imagine them carrying a gun in the street. Who went to war? Gedolei Yisrael, the greatest people, went to war. Tzadikim, imagine the Gedolei. Which Gedolei takes swords, guns, ammunition? Yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Milchemes Mitzvah. Milchemes Mitzvah is the Shiva Amimim, the conquest and conquer of the seven nations. Hayitachen, what's the reason? What is the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes peaceful, holy, heiligi Jewish people, Tzadike Elyoin, and tells them put on a gun and fight? For what? You want them to have Eretz Yisrael? Give it to them. What is the Milchama? What is it all about? Also, it's interesting, the Shiva Amim is a very interesting halacha. By Shiva Amim, the seven nations, when you conquer Eretz Yisrael, it's not regular war. It's not like Milchemet Rashut, which means that you have permission to fight, but it's Milchemes Mitzvah, that there's halacha of L'techayi Kol Neshama. You fight till destruction, there's nothing left. You gotta annihilate. L'techayi Kol Neshama. Why? Why should it be that? Why should there be halacha, kibush Eretz Yisrael, that you annihilate till there's nothing left? So there's a very interesting Rabbeinu Bechai I'd like to share with you. Rabbeinu Bechai says that the Milchemet Shiva Amimim is a lot deeper than just conquest. Milchemet Shiva Amimim is a lot more than just being kind Eretz Yisrael. Milchemet Shiva Amimim is fighting the Sarim in heaven. There's the Sar of each nation. So you have to fight the Sarim. And how do you get rid of the Sar? When you annihilate, there's no more people. There's no Zecher left from this nation. Memel the Sar is also taken out. What does Rabbeinu Bechaya mean? The Milchamot, the way I understand the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Milchamot of Shiva Amimim wasn't just physical. It was spiritual. The Shiva Amimim represented different klipot and kochot hara. We have to annihilate, not only physically, but in ruchni, these kochot. And then, and only then, we were zochet to have Eretz Yisrael. So we're just going to repeat, because Mr. Kaikov brought the coffee, he deserves that I should repeat it, so I'm going to repeat it. Okay, we're discussing Milchemet Shiva Amimim, that obviously it's not just conquest. It has to be a Milchama Ruchnius. Like Rabbeinu Bechaya explains, because you see that it's a very interesting type of Milchama, like the Chaya Kol Neshama, that you're not allowed to let anything survive. Says Rabbeinu B'chai, the pshat is, because this is how you annihilate. How do you annihilate the kochot and the sarim of these nations? By destroying it at tumo, till there's nothing left. So the Melchamas Shiva Amimim is obviously not only physical, but more than physical, it's spiritual, to destroy. Destroy Min HaShoresh, the Klipot, the Kochot Harav, these nations. It's interesting to know that all nations that came against us were there, that we should stand up against those nations, not only physically, but spiritually, to fight their Kochot and Klipot. We had Madai and Yavon and Bavel and Edai. This was all that we needed cleansing from these cultures and nations. Cultures and nations. If you notice, the Paraduma is a very interesting cleansing process, right? Paraduma was to clean. Which Klipot did it have to clean? So I found a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that what was the Paraduma? Says the Medrash, Paraduma da Bavel. The Paraduma represents Bavel. Tamima da Madai. Ein Bamum da Yavan. Le'ala le'a oil da Edai. Zayar Parshas Pekudei. Amit Tav Chav Hei. So we see in the Zayar that constantly we needed cleansing from the kochot and from the hashpaot of these nations, to the point that the paraduma was meant to clean up, just like it was meant to clean up from the egel. We see that it was also had its shoresh in all these galut, to clean up the mess of these galut. It's interesting, Edom is the Le'ala Aleha oil. You know, we're in Galut Edom today. Very interesting. We're in Galut Edom today, which is the last Galut. You know what the Kochot Hara of Edom is? Le'ala Aleha oil. Work. They're workaholics. Manhattan is the city that never sleeps. Work and work and work and work. As a matter of fact, there's a very interesting Medrash that the Alkut Ravani here brings down, and he says, "Vitzaruch shlo yaaseh b'malacha, shehi ba me'aklipa, shenigzar michet adam arishin shenemar, v'zeat apecha tochal lechem, u'min aklipot ba melacha." So you see that the Allah aleha oil is to clean up the klipa of v'zeat apecha tochal lechem, which is interesting that we find that it's also. For the Inyan of Edai, to clean up Edai, which you see clearly, part of its klipa is oil and oil and work and work. It's just an interesting observation, but it's a little off topic. The main thing we're trying to bring out is that whenever nations come against us, it's the purpose of it, and this is said already, the Svarim, it's already Mavur and many of the Svarim, that the purpose of all the nations, B'chol dar v'dar oindam aleinu l'chaliseinu, it's actually that we should fight back and repress and put a stop to the Koichit Hatuma and Klipa of those nations. So here we have Milchama Shiva Amim, and one of them, and actually the first one, was the Milchama with Sichain and Oig, which was in last week's Parsha. So I'd like to discuss a little bit the Milchama of Sichain and Oig. What exactly did it represent? What was the Ruchnis Dikha Milchama behind the Milchama of Sichain and Oig? And then we'll discuss what was the Ruchnis Dikha Milchama against Moav and Balak. And we'll take great lessons from it. We'll take great Limudim from it. What was Sichain and Oig about? So I want to begin by showing you something quite interesting. Vayakem Lefi Charev. For those that paid attention to the Kriya Satoira, you'll notice that it says that they killed Sichain Lefi Charev. Notice the word Lefi. It should have said, Vayakim b'charev. What is lefi? To the mouth of a charev, the mouth. Now the truth is, a sword has a pipia, it has a mouth, and it's the sharp point of it is defined. It's the expression used is a p. It's like a mouth. The sword has a mouth. All right. The Targum Yoinesen. Okay. And it will show you soon how the Midrashim speak about this as well. Explain Lefi that they use the mouth to kill Sichai. And that is the Shem Hamfayish. B'shamto Da'kodesh Baruch. You have over the Targum. You don't have the Targum. Here they have the Targum. Go ahead, look it up. It says clearly, Lefi Charev, that they killed. Lefi. It wasn't. It was Lefi. B'shamto Da'kodesh Baruch Hu, B'shamto Da'Hashem, with the name of Hashem. This as well is a Medrash. The Medrash, it's an Eliyahu Zuta that says, that if you look, it says in one place that Moshe killed Sichai, Vayakim Moshe, then it says Vayakim Yisrael, and then it says Vayakim Moshe v'Yisrael. So who did it? Says Eliyahu Zuta, we have to say that not Moshe did it, and not Klal Yisrael did it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself did it. So the Milchama, the waging of war, and the conquer was done through Hashem. And this goes very well with this Targum, that it was Bishamta in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Would you like to read it, Nisan?
Okay, it says, Umchoi Yisrael Bishmata Da'Hashem.
Bishmata Da'Hashem, with the name of Hashem. You hear, they killed Sichai, the nation of Sichai was conquered with the Shem Hashem. Obviously, that the war was not just a simple waging of war, like I told you, Hashem doesn't ask Yidden, Targum Yoinesen Ben Uziel. I'm sorry if you don't have it in your Chumash. I can't print it for you. What's the Pasuk?
It's Perech Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Dalet.
Pasuk Chaf Dalet. So there it says clearly, the Targum stresses that the form and format that they went and they killed out Sichai was Vishamto HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the name of Hashem, and the Midrashim speak out clearly that this was Melchemes Hashem. Hashem himself did conquer Sichai. Now I want to point out to you a very interesting Yalkut, a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that actually the Melchama against Sichai and Oi was a lot greater than the Melchama against Paran. Oh yes, very interesting Medrash here. Says the Medrash. Oh. Kashim hayu Sichai v'Oig yoyser miparoi. Says the Medrash. More than paroi. More. Ukashem sh'amru shira al mapolas paroi. And just like they said shira on the mapol of paroi, they said, "Oz Yashir, Kain Hayir Eloimer Shira Mapalosai of Sichai and Oig." That's how great Elish Amra David. But David was the one who ended up saying that Shira, like it says, "Lemakei Melachim Gedaylim Kili Oilam Chazdai." Right? We say it in the Tefillah Shabbos. Haydel Hashem Kitayv Kileim. It says, "Lemakei Melachim Gedaylim Kili Oilam Chazdai." So who is the Malach? Right? Like Melach Abbasud. So who are these kings? Sichai and Oig. So who said Shira David? So there are two questions. Why was Sichai and Oig much greater of a problem? Why was it more kashali Israel, Sichai and Oig, than Paroi? Paroi enslaved them so many years. We always picture Yetzias Mitzrayim. Wow! Look what happened in Mitzrayim. We almost fell into the Nun Shari Tuma. So we always think that Paroi was much worse. Yet, Chazal are telling us, and like Gershon pointed out, it's a Taka Rashi, I believe it's a Rashi as well, right? So that Sichai and Oig were kashim, were much worse. Unbelievable, no? It's like an unbelievable.
Was an angel, that's what.
Chidush Nifla. If someone would tell you what was the greatest gullus, you would say Mitzrayim. We would talk about Edom. Now, Sichai and Oig is kashim. Yoisa Mipari. Worse. What was so sichin and what happened? Nothing happened. So we have to delve into this to understand. Obviously, the kochot hara of sichin and oig was much greater than the kochot hara of pari. Obviously, first a medrash, first a chazal. And then we have to ask, why is David Hamelech the one to say shira for the uprooting and destruction and conquest of Sichin and Oig? Why David? I'm going to show you that David's name comes up quite often in these conquests of the Shiva Amimim, that David HaMelech is involved somehow and for some reason quite closely in all the Sichin, Oig, Moyav, in the Melchamas that we held against him. I'm soon going to show this to you for many different Chazal. I begin by telling you, if you notice, there's the Shira. Al-Kain, Ye'amer, B'Sefer, Melchama Yis Hashem. Okay, this is right before the Melchama Sichem V'Oig, where it discusses that they went out and they began the conquest. Al-Kain, Ye'amer, go ahead, read it. Al-Kain, Ye'amer.
It's Al-Kain, Ye'amru, HaMushlim, this one.
B'Sefer Melchamot Hashem. Et Vahem B'Sufa. Right? Go ahead, read it. No?
Just keep in mind, 1 second. It's after, yeah?
Yeah. It's right here. It says like this. Al-Kain, Pasuk, Peri Chafala, Pasuk, Yudal.
Ah, Yudal, okay.
Misham Nasu, first it says that they travel to Aver Arnor in Hashem HaMidbar. They may have a bit. Al-Kain, Yomar, B'Seifu, Melchama, Yis Hashem, Ezvoye, B'Suvas, and Acholim Arnor. This is the beginning of the wars. It says, Al-Kain, Yomar, B'Seifu, Melchama, Yis Hashem. Kishem, Esaprim, Nisim, Sh'asu, Laviseinu. Says the Medrash, Yalkutilim, Al-Kain Ya'amar B'Sefer Melchamais Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'David. Like I told you, David's name comes up quite often in the Melchamais of the Shiva Amimim. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, Asayik Batoira, you be involved in Torah, V'ani Nilcham Melchama Yisecha, and I shall fight your wars. That's what it means. Al-Kain Ya'amar B'Sefer. You do, deal with the Sefer. You put your head into the Gemara. Melchamais.
Hashem.
Hashem will do the Melchama. V'alchein Moshe. And so too Hashem said to Moshe here, Al-Kain Ye'amar B'Sefer Melchamais Hashem, Atem Asaktem B'Sefer, V'ani Nilcham Al Yedeichem. So it's quite interesting that Moshe and David are told the same laws and instructions of war. You study, you learn Torah, you put your head into the Sefer, you learn you're in the yeshiva, and I shall fight the war. Who? Moshe and David HaMelech. Quite interesting. What was Moav? What was Sichai? What was Oig? So there's a very interesting pasuk here. The pasuk says, Oilcha Moav. Woe to you, Mayav. Avadita got lost, got destroyed, annihilated. I'm Kemosh. Now, who's Kemosh? It's not Moish. Kemosh doesn't mean Moish. Who's Kemosh? Says Rashi, Kemosh, Shem Elohei Mayav. It's the name of the God of Mayav. That's the Avodah Zarah of Mayav. All right. Quite benign. You look at Rashi, you think, but right away you have to think to yourself, I'm Kemosh. So that's what you call Mayav, the nation of Kemosh. Avadah to Oilecha. What does he want? What do they want over here? Oilecha, Mayav, Avadah to Am Kemosh. So the truth is, I went to look into this on Avodah Zarah Kemosh. What is it all about? And I found an interesting Medrash. Medrash says, you know what Kemosh is? Who shikuts Mayav? This is the Avodah Zarah of Mayav. The Kabbalah biyadeinu shahoyse even shchayra. It was a black stone. Demus Isha. Reminds me very much of Buddha. Buddha. The only thing is, Buddha is a man, but maybe she started off as a lady. Well, you never lady. Know. You
lady,
never know.
Lady.
It's not. It's a man. I did the research. It looks like a lady. It's a man that looks like a lady. But this is what it is. It's Am Kemosh. Who knows? In today's society, you never know how it could work out. You know, it started off as a man, and then a boy, the Zara, you can never know. Anyways, it's Evan Shchaira Demus Isha. The Amda Sham Misheishes Yimei Bereishis. And Kemosh was there since the time of Bereishis. Interesting.
Who
made it? Pilei Playim. Who made it? Malvik. Ubana La Bama. They created a Bama, a sacrificial altar. V'holchui Leo Amim. And nations came there. L'shtachavais. To bow. V'echad mi'elef le'chazru. And 1 out of 1,000 never returned. For lo yadu b'sibas man, they didn't know why. Nobody knew why that happened.
Well, dying.
People used to go and never come back. Who knows? Point B, that it's the avodah zarah of Kemosh, a woman. What's this fairy tale over here? What's going on over here? Oylecha Mayav, woe to you, Mayav. You got lost, Am Kemosh. I don't know, since when do we start calling nations after their Rabbi Nazara, this lady, something is very, very peculiar. When I saw it, it began to, my mind started to work a little bit. I saw the pasuk and I'm saying, I'm Kemosh, I don't know, what's Mosh, the lady, Rabbi Nazara, what is this all about? I believe that it's very significant, very significant. Their avodah zarah and how the pasuk defines them according to their avodah zarah and woes them. Oy lecha, woe to you, Mayav Am Kemosh. Okay. I want to tell you that there's something very interesting about Sichei Nenoig, and that is that you notice that Oig, Moshe was afraid of. Moshe was terrified. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there's a very interesting medrash that says the Rabbi Yishom told him, Al tira oisai, and still he was afraid. Still afraid. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you afraid of? Not only I'm afraid, A, that I'll fall in his hand, says the medrash, but even after Hashem promised him that you won't fall in his hand, he was afraid, but how do I know he'll fall in my hand? There's two problems. One problem is I may fall to him, and then the second problem is how do I know that he'll fall to me? So he needed a double guarantee, and the Medrash brings down that he uprooted a mountain, and he was ready to drop it on Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made his teeth grow, and stomach, you know the whole story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys love these Maisalach. So this teeth started to grow, and it grew into the thing. It got stuck in his head. And beautiful, beautiful. It's a good story for a dentist. All right, now. Sichei Nenoig. What is Sichei Nenoig?
Malachim.
So you would say, Sichei Nenoig. What the Gmamish, horrible, terrible. No. The Megal Amukis says, Echad Yinikasam, Echad Mitzad HaKedusha, Me'ein Klipas Yishmael. Yeah, it's very interesting. One of them has to do with Yishmael, the clip of Yishmael. The Echad Mitzad Samael, Me'ein Klipas Esav Mitzad Yitzchak.
Wow.
Okay. So one has to do with Yishmael, and one has to do with Esav. That's what the Megal HaMukas, Oifel Lamed Zayin says.
Quiet.
Question, what is Kedusha? It's interesting. Echad Mitzad HaKedusha. Me'ein klipas Yishmael. So I have to define for you Kedusha, klipas Yishmael. Otherwise, what is he talking about? Ah, you'll say, Bechlau, why am I talking about this? Because I believe that we understand well Sichei Nenoig, we'll have a better understanding of why they were kasha. They were much worse, like the Medrash says, than Paros. Much worse for Klal Yisrael. More detrimental to Klal Yisrael than Paros. So let's find out what And let's define what the word Kedusha Mitzad Klipas Yishmael means, and I believe, and I know, that it means the following. Yishmael had a tremendous milo, and that is Kishama Hashem et kol hanar, ba'asher hu sham. Kochot ha'tfilat, Svarim right, that Yishmael, I'm sure you heard this many times, Yishmael is very into prayer. As a matter of fact, they pray five times a day. It's a religion that prays more than any other religion, five times a day. Christians pray five times a year, and Muslims pray five times a day. The clip of that is because Ki Shama Hashem El Kol Anar Basher Hu Sham. I believe the Chofetz Chaim already says this as well, that the Inyan of Tefillah, Yishmael has the Inyan of Tefillah. So now we're starting to formulate that one of them had the klipa of Yishmael, mitzad kedusha, and that might be the kochot tefillah. And therefore we could start formulating, which we'll soon see clearly with Rayot Brurot, that Moshe was afraid. Moshe had fear. There was a reason for his fear. Now, I do have to tell you that Oig was a very, what do you call that, a very shady character. You know why? Because Oig, nobody really knows his true identity. Everybody thinks that Oig had a tremendous chus, that he told Avram Avinu ki nishba achiv, that Lot was captured. I'd like to tell you a few midrashim that say that actually you got the wrong man. He's an imposter. He has nothing to do with that guy who came and told. Everybody's eyes are getting lifted all of a sudden. Everybody's starting to pay attention. There's a medrash that says, first of all, that Oig had a bris milah. What is the word oisai? Says the medrash, trei oisai ksiv b'toira. There's two word oto, that's two times in the Torah. L'shnei and pirish echad. And they both have the same pshat. V'hu ad drosh achicha oto. When you have to be meshiv aveda, you hold it till the brother, which means the Yisrael that comes, and is doresh oto. What is oto? Oto means with an ot, with a sign, with a siman. Siman, he has to give a siman ba'avedato. That's adrosh achicha oto. Oig also had a sign, and that is ki oig hayan nimal. Oig had bris milah. You'll ask Akasha, where did he get a bris milah from?
So
I'll tell you a tremendous lot, tremendous story. The story is, says the Medrash, Oig was actually Eliezer Eved Avram. Oig Melech Habashon, Eliezer Eved Avram. So now all of a sudden we have a whole different Oig. Will the real Oig please get up? Oig is Melech Habashon? Maybe. But is Oig also Eliezer Eved Avram? Maybe. Chazal say that. Now I want to tell you even more. What's the schus? No, it's not about light. Because if it's Oig Melech Habashon, then it's about light. But if it's Eliezer Eved Avram, what schus did he have? And the answer is Shegam Al Chesedim Yitzchak Avinu Shehevi Loyes Rivka. Givaldi, he brought Rivka. Tell me, he was not Doilu Mashkim Yitayras Chabay. Yes, what about that schus? No, that's not the schus. What's the schus that he brought Rivka? Tell me something. How did he get Rivka? Chazal, I'm sorry, the Pasuk tells us clearly that Eliezer davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Went and he said, Rebbeinu Shleilam Hakrina Lefanei Hayayim, please give me Tefillah. Very interesting, huh? This was big shoe like Eigen, but it was big shoe. Tefillah. Okay, so now we're beginning to formulate more and more who is Sichai, who is Eich, What is so special about these nations that even Moshe Rabbeinu needed guarantees? He was terrified that he needed guarantees from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's take a look at a very interesting medrash over here. The medrash says, and I'll tell you the emes, I learned this medrash when I was quite a young bacher, and it perplexed me then. I never really understood this medrash. The medrash says that when was the war? When was the war against Sichon? What time of the year was it? What date on the calendar? Says the medrash. The medrash says it was in Elul. When was the war against Oig? It was after the Regel, which means at the end of Tishrei. This is what the Medrash says. Furusha Medrash, Sifri, the Medrash, famous Medrash. I never understood what's it, Nageya, that it was an Elul, it was after Sukkot, after the end of Tishrei. What does Chazal want? It's so important to know when it was. Never understood. Okay. This year I was zoichet to enlightenment to understand this Medrash, and I'll share it with you. Tell me, what did Moav want? Does anybody know what Moav wanted? So if you look at the Pasuk seems to say clearly he was afraid. And I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I'd also be afraid, right? It says in the Pasuk clearly, Vayar Balak ben Tzipor Melech Moav, Eis Asher Asa Lekim. One second. Amar Elushnei Malachim Rashi Shayy Betuchim Aleim Leom De Bifneiem Ano Alachas Kama VeKama. Good. I'd also be afraid, right? Truthfully, Sichon also. Sichon came and he said, "You know why I'm going to fight? Even though all you're asking is Ebrona Bartzecha, it seemed like a very moral reason." Rashi says because they used to pay taxes to them, right? They used to pay taxes that they should live on the border and protect that any nations that come, they'll stop them before they come into Eretz Yisrael to fight. Sounds like very, very, good neighbors and honest workers, no? They were hired to do a job. Tell me something more. Mitzrayim, yeah? Mitzrayim also. What were they afraid? It says in the Pasuk a very simple thing. They were afraid. Pen Yirba Leinu, right? So it's interesting how it's always facaded, right? Facade means it's covered over with a real taina. They're afraid, I'm afraid. We hate the Jews. Why do we hate the Jews? Because they're taking over the banks, Hollywood, right? There's always a good reason. Kleinish, which means klapichutz. They always come up with a good reason. So that's the chayr pasuk shot, right? Because the truth is we find that Balak tries to curse. He hates Klal Yisrael. Rashi brings it down, but that could be because he's afraid of them. Nachon? Ruven, nachon? When you read the psukim, you don't see more than fear. Pari was afraid, and he was right to be afraid, right? Because Pen Yirba Leinu, right? Right, Milchama, they'll go to war. Sichon is afraid, makes sense also. Listen, they paid us to watch. How can we let you just pass by? Moav is afraid. Look what they did to Sichon and Oig. Tell me, what did Bilam want? Does anybody know why Bilam was so anti-Semitic? Why did he hate? You look at Rashi. Rashi says clearly that Bilam hated even more than Balak. So first Rashi, right, Gershon? Remember the Rashi? Who hated more, Balak or Bilam? What did Bilam have to lose? Nothing. Bilam is this. This has nothing to do with Bilam. Bishlaima Sichain, I hear. Bishlaima Oig, I hear. Bishlaima Maya, I hear. What did Bilam? What did Bilam hate so much? Can you tell me why Bilam hated so much? Okay, so first of all, you want to know who Bilam is. Let's discuss who Bilam
Lavan.
Is. Bilam is Lavan.
Grandfather.
Medrash says clearly, Bilam comes from Lavan. All right? As a matter of fact, Bilam is a grandnephew of Avraham Avinu. It's also a Medrash. Medrash says Very interesting medrash. Yeah, it says like this. Here.
Butuel, no?
Don't nudge so much. Here. Bilam hoya binashal Malka. It was the son of Malka.
Milka.
Who is Milka? Achais Sarah. The sister of Sarah. The yald is Kemuel, and Kemuel is Bilam. Benikra Cain. Why is he called Kemuel? Al Shakam Kenegid Uma. That he went up against the nation. Shall Ail, right. Umilka is Akara. And Milka couldn't have children. So Kemoish is Spala of Ram al Sarah. Cain is Spala al Milka. Bilam would say, if not for Avram, I wouldn't be here. And yet, he hated Klal Yisrael. Right? And that was his name, Kimuel. He was a Jew hater. Come, Keneged Uma. Okay? He used to get, he stood up against the Yidis. He was called Kimuel. So Bilam is actually Lavan, right? Mishpachas Lavan. He was a grandchild of Lavan, and at the same time, one Medrash says that he was actually a nephew of Avram Avinu. Good?
Who says this?
Who? This is a Medrash. Just read you a Lashon of a Medrash. And then it says he came from Lavan. That you all know that he came from Lavan. Here. Vayishlach Malachim el Bilam. Who is Bilam? Melach Bela. Melach Rish. Bilam is Bela. That's the name in those days, right? The five kings.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chenam Razal, Zeu Lavan Arami. Yeah? They both had the same kav. Now it's very interesting. Lavan was what? Bikesh? La'akar esha koil. So Lavan wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. Bilam, I guess, as the nephew of Avram Avinu, was kam keneged Uma. That's the pshat kimu el, right? And pshat is Avram Davin for him. So it's a very interesting question. Why is Bilam hate so much? What is Bilam? Bishlaim Sichain hates. Alright. He's afraid. Bishlaim Oik hates. Afraid. Bishlaim Maya hates. Alright. But what is Bilam? Why is Bilam such a big hater? So it's an interesting Rashi. Rashi says that actually Avon the Har Pesaira, Eretz B'nei Amoy. So there's a shaila who Eretz B'nei Amoy is referring to. Is Eretz B'nei Amoy of Balak or Eretz B'nei Amoy of Bilam? Some Rishayim learn it's Eretz B'nei Amoy of Balak. So actually, Bilam lived in Balak's territory. So maybe that's why he was so anti. He was afraid. Others learn it was actually Aram, because Bilam came from Aram Naraim. Aram Naraim has nothing to do with Balak. So what's Eretz B'nei Amoy? Says Rashi. He was the one who was misnaber that Balak is going to become king. So maybe that's his kesher, his negiut. His negiut is, he was the one who told Balak that Balak will be king. So he doesn't want to see his protege, his person. He put him into power that's going to fall in the hands of Klal Yisrael. And maybe that's why he had such a big shaft over here. This is a good question. This is something we have to delve into. Why does Bilam hate to such an extent? Who cares? What does Bilam have from it? Ma aya echomim ze maya maya tsar Bilam. What causes Bilam to hate so much? So let me tell you, there is midrashim that say that Bilam actually was misitra damolik. There's a very interesting medrash over here. Medrash says that he was Misitra Damolik. Okay, we're going to read this here. Amar Balak Labilam. Oh. Bilam Ubalak he Misitra Damolik. V'chein Erev Rav. Zayir Bereshis. The Zayir and Parshas Bereshis writes that Bilam is connected to Amolik. Alright, could be. Right. Bilam Amolik. Good. Lamais, I want to show you something very interesting. And remember I told you that David HaMelech's name surfaces a lot in the Milchamis of Balak and Shiva Amimim and Sichaim. I'm going to show you something quite interesting. Who was the first, witch who used to make potions? Now, whenever you read the fairy tale books, you'll have pictures of witches with crazy hair, and funny hats that they put out in case, you know, they don't want you to drive down the street. They put like these cones, right? Those are orange. Then you have the black ones that the witches wear. All right. And then they sit there over their stews with a broom-like, and they sit there and they mix the stew of their potions, right? What are you laughing for? It's Mefurash Gemara in Pesach. Gemara in Pesach says that the witches have their brews and their things.
Rav Nachman's daughters, they used to.
Well, they used to sit, right? They would sit there and mix the brews. Okay, but then before that, way before that, there was a man who was the cook of all these things. See, today you have the ladies who do it. But the question is, who did the brew in those days? And the answer is Balak. Balak used to use all the asavim for ksamim. He was a kaisim ksamim. Zayar parshas b'midbar. Balak ha'yim mechashim gadol. Balak was a big mechashim. V'ha'ya melakeit asavim. He used to take herbs and grasses. Lasis kshafim. To make kishim. V'niach b'gdeira. And he put him into a pot. V'ganas tachas ha'aretz. Just like Saddam Hussein. The minute he almost got caught, what did he do? He took all his weapons over there, his mass destruction weapons, and he put them in the ground. So this guy Balak did the same thing. He hid all the stuff in the land, in the earth. Amai, elef v'tav kuf amma. That's 1,500 ammas. Ukeshaba David. Oh, I told you, David's name comes up again. Look at that, a mezayar. Ukeshaba David chafar. Famous Gemara. The Gemara says that David Amel dug under the Beis HaMikdash for water, right? Under the ground. And the water came up and it was almost, well, you know, sort of made a marble all over the world. It's a famous Gemara. Says the Medrash, the Zayar, that who found while he was digging? They found an archive, right? Tremendous artifact. They found this Kedera. They found this pot full of the Asav. Take archaeology. Unbelievable. Here, an archaeological find. V'tavkuf amma b'tahayim. The Nasach Mayim al Gabim Mizbeach. So he took water from the Mizbeach of Omar, and he said, Ani Erchoitz es HaKederahu. I'm going to wash out the Nisach HaMayim on the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to wash out Balak's pot. Well, unbelievable, huh? Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. David HaMelech. With the Nisach HaMayim was being mitaken. He was correcting and fixing this thing, this potion of Balak. Tell me something, Rabbi. How deep does this fairy tale go? What's going on here? Potions and David HaMelech and Nisach HaMayim. It's all over the place. What does it all mean? What is the interpretation of this beautiful, very interesting story? I'm not finished yet with you guys. I'm not finished yet. You know, it's very interesting that Balak was all about Ksamim. Yet, Bilam was maybe even stronger. You see, even though Balak was a Mechashim Gadol, but Bilam was even greater in this inyanim. And I'll explain to you. There's a very interesting medrash here. Chachmas Balak Bekishiv, Hayayoyser Mi Bilam. Balak was actually bigger than Bilam and Kishiv. The Bilam Rega Echad. Bilam was able to do one moment. In one moment, right? That's Pshat, right? Gemara says that he knew one moment. The moment that Hashem got angry. That was one moment that he knew how to work with the Kishon. Balak, because Zimna, Balak was non-stop. Balak was mamish 24 hours a day Kishon. Alright? So why'd he call him? So what do you need Bilam for? Bilam knew the secret potion, you know, the secret, the mafteach, he knew all the key. Bilam knew all, Balak knew all the kishiv, but Bilam knew the key to the kishiv. He didn't need any spices for that. He didn't need any, Bilam was able to do with his mouth, okay? Avul Balak, hayakalak shafim biyadav. He had all the ingredients, which means he had a whole pharmacy full of kishiv, but he didn't know what to do with it. Bilam didn't have much, but with one word, you know how to get it all in there. You know how to really, really do the kiss of good. All right. I want to tell you that this guy, Bilam, was so off the trodden path, as they say, that he wasn't even happy with all the kishuv that he was able to do with his mouth, but he went to a special university to learn more kishuv. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not, I don't mean literally university, but Kain University. Zoya brings down in this week's parsha.
To Malach.
Yeah, we're going to get to it. That Bilam, I think the Mamloyes brings the whole story.
Yeah, man.
That Bilam flew to the Hari Chayshach on Ir Azoyel. Just kidding. Azoyel is the Shadim over there in the Hari Chayshach. And it says, I'm going to read you the Zoya. The Zoya says as follows. When he saw that Klal Yisrael came out, of Mitzrayim, and they went into the Midbar, and he saw that they had tremendous greatness in the Midbar, Niskana Behem, says the Zayar, he became very jealous. Bilam became very jealous of Klal Yisrael. His Chalimra Yitzarais Raisha, he began to pull out the hairs from his head, Lasses Karcha Beraisha, to make himself bald spots on his head. Uzikna in his beard. That his Eitzah didn't work, because he was the one, don't forget, we're soon going to talk about this in great length, that when Pari needed Yoyatzin, Pari needed people to give him good advice, what to do with the Jewish people, Bilam gave advice to destroy the Jewish people. And it didn't work, because you see they came out of Mitzrayim. Holach uparach lazo vazoyel. So he went to the two Shadim, Azah and Azoyel, and he flew there. It's very interesting. You know Superman.
He flew.
He used to fly around. He had a special jet. It's called Azah and Azoyel Ir. Ir Azoyel. Sabina Ir. Azah Vazoyel Ir. Mikacha Seder Lecholish HaPerech Sham. And this is the way it happens for anybody who flies to this to that place. Okay? Kimon Shehoylech Al Toich Harei Chayshech. He has to fly to the Harei Chayshech, the dark mountains. You know where the Harei Chayshech are. It's very interesting that the Gemara in Masechtas Tamid tells us that the Harei Chayshech are in Africa. Very interesting. I won't go there. You'll figure it out yourself. Yeah, the Gemara says it.
They bring the story.
Martin Tamid says clearly that the Harei Chayshech was in Africa.
Yeah.
All right. That's Martin Tamid. For Gemara.
Congo.
It's very interesting. It's what do they call that over there? The Bronx. In the Bronx is the Harei Chayshech. And then you end up in the White House. All right. Kitzer Rois and Azoyel Shu Gluye Nayim. Okay, so Azoyel sees that Balak is a Gluye Nayim. His eyes are open, are revealed. Miyad Oimer La Azoyel. Miyad him Koyrim Bekoyel. So he calls Azoyel. Yeah. So Azoyel calls Azoyel. And he tells, and right away there's a big loud noise, voice. So then the snakes come out. And the mechashiv that wants to go to them, mamtin ala Pesach, he waits by the door of the Harei Chayshech, ad sheshalchim ruach echad, till they send a spirit, kiminchay ketano, which is like a little animal, b'tzurasa ketzuras chatul. Now, I guess I can tell you this, because, you know, I really think that, you ever saw The Wizard of Oz? What are those flying things? Like cats. They look like cats. That's the whole. It comes from here. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Shehu kimin chayik tanev tzurasa kitzuras chatul baroish law kimin roish nachas. Maybe not exactly. Ushnei's navis law. It has two tails. You know, the long. They have over there the tail. Raglek tanis. Okay, the kid's a nice fairy tale here. Kimon sheroya oisa mechashiv oisa oisa k'toyris misreif v'satarnu galavon. They burn up a white chicken, and they throw it in front of this animal. They come and the kiva, he sits there for 50 days. All right, and then he goes. The snakes come. All right, Bilam. This is what Bilam was doing. He was busy with this. This is the craziness that Bilam was busy with. Because it's a 50-day, you get your degree after 50 days of sitting in the Harei Chayshech. That's when you graduate. So for 50 days, seriously, that's what it says here. So for 50 days from when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, that he became cuckoo, that they left, right? Because it didn't work out his Eitzah. He was sitting in the Hari Chayisha. Okay.
So he's there.
Yoim ha'yasagi ma'im barachayishach. Vayaraitzel akatru gulachzinu mitzrayim. Akush baruch abdul kol chachmasam. Shalom chashm amdeyim. Okay, and then he brings over here from Ashmedai and Shechvazera. Oh, unbelievable stuff. Okay, you guys do it on your own. Now, to make a long story short, this guy, Bilam, was the darkest character you could ever imagine. Okay? This guy lived in some chayshech that you can't, you know, the depths of tumah. It's unbelievable. Yet I want you to know something. But this same creep who was busy in the Hari Chayshech with cats and burning Targoylim and Ashmedai and Azoyel and Shechvazera, living with donkey, right? Chazal tells us he lived with his donkey. Are you talking about the darkest character you could ever imagine? This same dark character, Chazal tell us, was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. He had kochot, as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara even says, Moshe Kasav Sifrei V'Sefer Bilam. That Bilam, when he spoke, it had a Torah as he spoke, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, Eila Dvarim Ashadiber Hashem, it became Torah. Shechina medaberes mitay grainai. He had the same thing. Bilam had the same kochot. Yeah. Bilam was had the kochot of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet he was the darkest, the most, how should I say it, the shadiest character you can ever imagine. But really, you're talking about a guy who, if you had to delve into his life, you would see just chayshich and chayshich, messed up, completely messed up. Right? How do you understand this? Okay. How do we understand this? Rabbi Isai, let me tell you a little bit more. I want to tell you a little more, and then everything will fit into place. I believe, and I'll show it to you in Chazal, Bilam was jealous of Klal Yisrael. Like most hatred against Klal Yisrael comes from jealousy. Reishis Koil, that same Medrash, that same Zohar I just quoted to you, says clearly, yeah, Shloisha Yayetzei Parai, Bilam, Iyuv, Yisrael. Bilam was a Yayetz, Yisrael, right? And Pari. Iyuv. The Kulam Hayu Mechashvim Gedolim. They were all big Bali Kishuv. All of them. Iyuv Haya Gilgul Terach. Iyuv was a Gilgul of Terach, says the Zayar. The Rosach Lakadish Baruch Hu Bavoyde Zara. He got Hashem angry with Avoyde Zara. Yet, the key Rabbi Isai, Asa Tshuva, he did Tshuva. Yisrael, Hayde V'Loy Baish, Yisrael also did Tshuva. He admitted, he said, At Yodati, Ki God L'Hashem Mikael. Bilam, Amad B'Rishasa. Bilam couldn't do Tshuva, Bilam was lost. You know what Bilam was jealous about? That there was such a thing called Tshuva by Klal Yisrael. Listen carefully. I'm telling you, big yourself. You know what he was nitkaneh? He was nitkaneh be Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts them with tshuva. And that's what it means. Kishero gedulas Yisrael b'midbar. He saw the greatness of Klal Yisrael. How did he see the greatness of Klal Yisrael in the midbar? He saw in them, they fell, yet what? Right away. Come, they picked themselves up and they did tshuva. Bilam knew that he had tremendous kochot. Yet, he was lost. He found no way to return. And therefore, he put himself into chayshach. He put himself into the depths of a yuzorah and kishuv. It was like a yush. The deep. When a person knows he has kochot, yet he doesn't have the tarat halev to do anything with those kochot. He didn't have the purity, the tahara, to be able to do something with those kochot. And he was falling. And I'll prove it to you. You ready? If you take a look at the words that Bilam said, he gives away this yesod all the time. You know what he says all the time? First of all, he begins, Lahipit Aven Biyakov, V'Leira Amel BiYisrael. You know what that means? Hashem sees no bad. The Chafetz Chaim explains that Hashem, as far as he's concerned, Klal Yisrael does nothing wrong. Lahibit Aven Biyakov. The only reason why Klal Yisrael ever gets punished because there's Mikatrigim and Hashem has to listen to the Kitrug. That's why if you notice on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, what do? We try to take away the Kitrug. Be'ein Mei Litzyosha. Why? This is what I added to the Chafetz Chaim. You notice that the main Nekuda of Rosh Hashanah is the Kitrugim. Because Hashem, without the Kitrugim, Lahibit Avim B'Yakov V'Loiram B'Yisrael. I want to tell you further. Wait a minute. We're not finished yet. The Yairus Dvash of Yonison Aivshit says, Lahibit Avim B'Yakov V'Loiram B'Yisrael. Eilu Yimei Elul V'Tishrei. Oh! I want to tell you more. Remember I told you the first medrash? We spoke about a medrash that when was Melchana Sikhalai? Elul and Tishrei, huh? Okay, we're not finished yet. Listen carefully, Rabbi Isai. Tamus nafshi moishi sharim. What did he want? Says Arachayim HaKadosh. You know what he wanted? Wanted to die like a Jew. What does that mean? Betshuva, says Arachayim. Thomas Nafshi, he wanted to be able to do tshuva. He was lost. Gone. He wanted to be able to do tshuva. And that's why he was nitkaneh b'Yisrael. And I found that the Megala Amukot, and that's why I want to tell you this year, it all came together for me. Says the Megala Amukot, says the Megala Amukot. Says the Megala Amukot, Eis of Yaakov, Kol Kuach Hadashim, Eis of Yaakov, they divided the months. Eis of Lokach Tammuz and of Yaakov, Elul and Tishrei. Sounds familiar? So we were given Elul and Tishrei. V'zeh hoya ha'inyan bilam u'balak ratzu likach mi'Yisrael chaydesh Elul. Exactly what I told you. I always never understood this. Why do we talk about that it was an Elul and Tishrei? What is Bilam and Balak? What does it have to do with Tishrei? True. And the answer is it has to do with the tshuva. They try to take it away from us. And the milchama that we held against Sichon and Oig and Mayav and Balam and Bilam was about Elul and Tishrei, the inyan of Tshuva. They tried to take away from us, says the Megala Amukos, clearly. Eis of Yaakov Cholku Achadoshim. Eis of Lokach Tammuz and of. Yaakov took Elul and Tishrei. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was when, Rabbi Isai?
Tammuz
and of. Now I'm going to tell you another shtickle Megala Amukos here, which is unbelievable. Shamu Amoyslim Berkia Shamru Bo Cheshbain. Malchi Amayri Yisachtu V'amru Shultanasa Gibayrim Oymach HaMayav. So what happens? L'cha Orali. He comes and he says L'cha Ora. What does Ora mean? Aleph Reish He. Says Megal Amukis Aleph Elul Reish He Reish Hashanah. L'cha Orali. And what's Li? Give it to me. L'cha Orali. No? Ora Aleph Elul Reish He Rosh Hashanah. Megala Mukas. Ora. Aleph Elo Reshe Rosh Hashanah Lee. We want it back. And also the Lee, very good. It's also the days, very good. Arbayim Yayim, that's very good also. Lechara Lee, beautiful. He doesn't say this, but it could be that's what it is. Yayim the Tshuva. Okay? Lemaisa. He says that Bilam, what did he have? He had Ketev Mariri. I'm sure you all know about Ketev Mariri. Kufas Tammuz. Tammuz that Ketev, this is the Kishuv, the Kochot of Ketev Mariri. Those are the Kochot of Klala. All the Klala, so Klal Yisrael, that's why you're not supposed to go out at certain times during the day. In Tammuz, Ketev Mariri, a Shailit, it's Tkufa, it's called Tkufa Stavos. So Shalom, you're allowed to get married. Sometimes you're allowed to get married. Keta Mariri. Anyways, he says that's the pshat. Vayapich Hashem ulikecha l'ches haklola l'bracha. What does the word S mean? S, says the Megala Mukis, S, El and Tishrei. But if you're hapoch, if you switch it around, what do you have? Av and Tammuz. Vayapich Hashem. Hashem switched around. S. What is S? El and Tishrei. S. Av and Tammuz. What does that mean? That just like Av and Tammuz, Hashem could have given that there was Ketiv Mariri, still, he made it like El and Tishrei and he didn't get angry. That's Vayapach Hashem L'chaz HaBracha L'klal Es. By switching it around, by making Av and Tammuz just like El and Tishrei, which was the Chodesh that was given to Klal Yisrael. Now, Rabbeisai, I begin to understand, where does David HaMelech come into the picture? How did David HaMelech? You know, the koiches, the tshuva of Klal Yisrael during Elul and Tishrei is through the koich of tefillah. It's through tefillah, right? With David, Hashem, Oyer v'Yishi. Hashem protects Klal Yisrael through what? Rosh Hashanah, Oyer is there. Rosh Hashanah, Yishi is Yom Kippur. Why is it LeDavid? Because David HaMelech was the tefillah. You know, the yisod of the machloket, the fight between Bilam and Klal Yisrael, is brought down in all the Sfarim. Klal Yisrael was Koichon Bepeh. And Bilam was Koichi Bepeh. Bepeh means that they're able to They're able with tefillah. But Bilam could have had koichei bepeh. Yet, what did he use his peh for? For chayshich. He used his peh for ksamich. He used his peh to do all the terrible kisha, the black, the magic, the horrible depths of tumah. That's where the Shem HaMechoyach. That's the answer. Now you see how it Leficharev. That's why I started the shiur with. Now you understand what I'm trying to bring out. How did they fight Bilam? Leficharev. He was killed with the Shem HaMefirish. Pilchus killed him. The Kaychus of Tefillah. Bilam was all about using the pen. He knew Yedea Das Elyon. And what did he do with it? Tuma. Hari Chayshech. What does Klal Yisrael use the pen? And this is what he was jealous. What was he jealous? What did he try to take away? The Elul and the Tishrei, says the Megala Mukis. The Elul and the Tishrei. He was trying to take away. That's why David. What is Nisach HaMayim? Does anybody know what Nisach HaMayim is? No, what is Nisach HaMayim? What is Nisach? It's Merutzah, it's Tefillah, it's the whole Inyan of the Yishanis and the Mayim. It's all Tefillahs. It's all Inyan Tefillahs. So David HaMelech went to the Beis HaMikdash. What is the Beis HaMikdash? Ki Beisi, Beis Tefillah, Yikare L'chal Amim. So Balak wanted to put Ksamim, he wanted to bury all the witchcraft over there. David HaMelech comes, he digs it up. What does he do? Ani menake, I clean out. You hear? I'm going to clean out this thing of Balak. That's the pshat why Moya. It's very interesting. It says that what was Balak was afraid? Ki chazak hu mi? Many. Who's me many? Says the Chazal, me many from me. Because David HaMelech is going to come. And who is he going to come from? Oh. He's Balak. He's a grandchild of Balak. Who do you think he was from? Rus HaMayavia. Rusa Mayavia, Kichazaku. So he's gonna overstrengthen, says the Medrash Mimeni, but it's gonna come from me. David HaMelech is the anecdote. The anecdote, the tikkun against Mayav. Mayav comes and he's busy with the Kishuv and Avodah Zarah. What is Klal Yisrael busy with? We're not into all these Lachashim, all these Lachashim. We know Charba. What is our Charev? I want to tell you something very interesting. The Gemara says that originally they wanted to take, it's Gemara in Brachas. Originally they wanted to take the Parsha of Bilam and put it into Kriyashma. Oh yes. Yes. Oh yes. First Gemara.
Because of Tircha, no?
Because of Tircha, we decided not to do it. But originally, they were to take. Says the Megala Mukis. Why would we put it in Kriyashma? So there's another shtickel Megala Mukis, which really, really speaks to the Yisud that we just said. You know what Bilam wanted? You know what Balak wanted? To be Mevatel Kriyashma Tefillah. Yichud Hashem and to dam to him. That's what they wanted. So therefore, the Parsha Bilam, says the Megala Mukis, was supposed to be taken and put back into the Kriyashma. First Megala Mukis, this Yisud. You know what Bilam? Bilam was great. Bilam was able to talk to the Eibishter every day. Yet what happened? He didn't. Yet he didn't. He had the ability, Yodea Das Elyon, to be a Navi, to talk to Hashem. And what was he busy with? Flying monkeys and squirrels and cats and shagasim that you... Unbelievable. Huh? Unbelievable.
Brooms.
Shugan Azach. The guy was... Why? He lost. And he went deeper and deeper into this chayshach. Yeah? Yet, he was the Kanebi Yisrael. He was had kinna. What was his kinna? Lohibit Avim B'Yakov Lohira Amun B'Yisrael. I want to tell you two more beautiful nekudot. What does the word hibit mean? Does anybody know what the word hibit? Hibit. I want you to know something. Today's shir, it's an I hope impression. It's a schus that he gave it to me because it was, I finally understood the whole sugya of Bilam and Balaam. What was going on there? It's a strange sugya. The hibit means to look deeper. The Chida explains that way. Lohibit is habata. It's deeper than just Riyah. Okay. See, he explains that when a person does an Avera, that's Masa. That you see on the outside. But when you look deeper, you can see that maybe he had Machshavot to do Avera. You can do Machshavot to do Avera, says the Chida. Lohibit. Hashem doesn't look at the Machshavot. En HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitztarfel. You know why, says the Chida? Because when he looks deeper, he sees it's not Avin B'Yakov. The Jew really doesn't want to do it. Lo Hibit. When he looks deeper into the Yid, he doesn't see. You know why? Because he doesn't see it. And that's why I want to add. V'lora Amel B'Yisrael. What does Amel mean? Anybody ever thought about it? So Rashi says Amel is a Lashon Aveira. Why is Amel a Lashon Aveira? And the answer is beautiful, Rabbi. So you want to hear? A Jew could be Amel. He could toil and work hard to do an Aveira. Hashem doesn't look at it. As much work as he puts, Hashem says, he really doesn't want to do it. Yeah, but what do you mean? He ran, he bought a ticket, and he drove 20 hours to go to this, to do this on Aveira. What happened? And the answer is, Hashem doesn't see that. Why? So I want to add, because it says in the pasuk, Lehibit Avin B'Yak L'Ram B'Yisrael, Hashem L'Kav Ima, U'Truas Melech. But what is Truas Mel? You know what it means? We say this on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's what the Irish Bash is saying. That this pasuk is all about Elul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. What do we say? Truas Mel. What is Truas? Rosh Reyut. The pasuk, the translation. Simple pshat. What's the translation of the pasuk? Trua Rosh Reyut. Truat Melech. It's the translation of the pasuk. Because deep down, a Jew really is what? Has loved Hashem and Hashem loves him. Truas Melech. Bo is in him. This is what Bilam couldn't stand. Bilam couldn't take it. Tomus Nafshi Mois Yisar. He lived his life disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I want to be able to do tshuva. It's not going to work. A Yid has tshuva. Le'ram will be Yisrael. Le'hibit Avim B'Yakov, because it's Truas Melech. Because he really does love Hashem. This is how I explain the Chidah. I want to tell you another piece of Chidah. The Chidah says, the Gevaldi thing, the Umagevesh is some ayin. It says in the Mishnah that Bilam had Ayin Ra. So everybody knows what an Ayin Ra is, except for the Rambam. The Rambam didn't hold of such a thing as an Ayin Ra. Mm-hmm. Famous. The Rambam didn't hold of Ayin Hara because he didn't hold of all these Zayars and all these things. And therefore he translates Ayin Ra, someone who was Lahud to make a lot of money. That's how the Rambam translates the Mishnah. If your Talmid of Shel Bilam is Ayin Ra, says the Rambam that he's Lahud to make money.
What is this?
Means he works day and night.
Workaholic.
To, a workaholic to make money. Ayin Ra. work and work and work to make money. Rav Leib Chassman, correct. Rav Leib Chassman says, it's a very, very scary thing to say, but it comes out that most of the people work all day and all night. That's what it says according to the Rambam. Alright, most Mefarshim learn that it actually means Ayin Hara, that he had a bad eye, Ayin Hara, literally. That's how most Rishonim learned the Mishnah, that Bilam had a bad eye, and any guy who has a bad eye is a... Okay, what is a bad eye? How does that work? So Grada, there's a very interesting medrash that I saw over Shabbos, which really perplexed me, because we always think that Ayin Hara has to do with jealousy. But the medrash brings down that actually Ayin Hara is a mitzvah in the Bria. Some people just have an Ayin Hara, and he says that there are certain animals that have Ayin Hara, that when they look at you, they could kill you with their poison of their eyes. So that's what he says. He says certain animals could do it with their scream, and certain animals could do it with their eye. And he says that Al-Zam the Mike did a very interesting medrash, that he met these animals, so how did he kill them? He put a mirror in front of them. Medrash says, he put a mirror in front of them. Don't tell it to the ladies, because sometimes they can look in the mirror and it could be a killer, so maybe they'll think they have an eye. Okay, anyways, but kids are... Alexander, how did he kill these animals that Ayin Hara? He put a mirror in front of them. All right, good. Lemaisa, Lemaisa, Lemaisa. According to this medrash, Ayin Hara is not about jealousy. That's what this medrash is saying. Like, these animals don't have an Ayin Hara against human beings, right? They're not jealous. There's a kach in the Bria. All right. Past this, it has to do with Ayin Hara. So I want to tell you all the myriadic of things. The Uma gather, Shetum Ha'ayin. What is the word Shetum? Shetum. So everybody thinks it means blind. It's a lashon of satum, that it's closed. Right? But the truth is he was called a Galuye Naim. So it's an interesting contradiction. Taisus in Nida Dachlam, it says, Shetum doesn't mean blind. It means the opposite. It means Galuye. It means open. Patuach Naim. He was open. If you look at the Targum goes with this sheet, and he says, Shetum Ayin means the Shaper Chazi, that he saw good. That's the lashon of the Targum. That the eye saw good, Shaper Chazi, saw well. Not blind on one eye, but the opposite. That he saw good. The Baal Shem Tov says a very interesting pshat. It's good to say it over. I say it over all the time. It's a beautiful pshat. Shem Tov says he was actually blind. And yet the Medrash, the Targum says that his eye was able to see. How does that work? If he was blind, so why do you say that Shaper Chazi saw good? He says a Meir Dikashayim. How could it be that such a piece of Tameh, such a piece of Zevel, the Rabbi Hashem came to him? We know that a Navi has to be at the highest levels. A Navi has to be someone who's a Gibor and a Kaivishus Yitzroi and a Tzaddik, an unbelievable great giant of a human being. So how could Hashem come to this piece of garbage? Says the Baal Shem Tov, a Gevaldi Gevar, since he was blind in one eye, so that eye didn't do Averis. So Hashem came to him through that eye. That's Pshat Shaper Chazi. The blind eye was his good eye. That was the only good thing about it. I'll say something about Shem. It's a beautiful word. Shaper Chazi, eh? The rest of the guy wasn't worth 2 cents. It was a piece of garbage. But his blind eye, Shaper Chazi, that's where he saw good from. Chidah says the Mayri Dikab Pshat. Chidah says, Shetum Ayin, you want to hear?
Yeah.
There's a big Yisai. Ayin Hara, you literally have to close one eye to give an Ayin Hara. Chidah. What's wrong? Beautiful chidah. I loved it. I like. You should know the chidah is
involved.
Oh yes, Pirush Abeni Yishai. Vayisa Bilamis Einav Ksiv Shtum Ayin. So which one is it? Did he have Einav two eyes or Shtum Ayin was blind? He's going with the pshat that he was blind. So he says Achlo here Lekalas Yisrael. Still he didn't curse. He had two eyes. Mishir Lekalamal. But then when he decided to curse them, one eye. And then he says from the Klayakar. Now what is the one eye? Shayroi Tzalasim Ayin Hara Al Yisrael. So therefore we became blind. Why? Why do we become blind if you want to give an Ayin Hara? Says the Chidah, Ef Shalayim Eder Chalatzah B'Shem, he brings from the Shita Mekubetzis and Brachis, B'Shem HaMekubalim, D'Ef Shalasim Ayin Hara, Im Loikish Shaseger Ayin Achas. You have to close one eye. Okay, like this. You got to go with one eye open, or that's how you give an Ayin Hara. What happens if you have these witches over there that have both eyes open and they give you Ayin Hara? You don't have to worry about it. That's what it says here. What? You have two bad eyes, so you have nothing to worry about. What? That's what it says here. An Ayin Hara has to be one eye open and one eye closed. Okay. So he says that's the pshat that he wanted to give an Ayin Hara on Klal Yisrael. That's why I became blind to be Meramis in. Close that bad eye. All you need is one eye to give an eye in Hara. So Hashem said, close that bad eye. That's how the Chidah learns the Pshat and Shetum Ayin. What do I have in this Chidah? You see the Indian of Ayin Hara, which Pashas has to do with Kinnah. He was very jealous. The Yisayid of Bilam was jealousy. And this is what his jealousy was. His jealousy comes out like Hibidavim Biyakayv. Tshuva, that Klal Yisrael is able to do tshuva. Thomas Nafshi Mois Yisharim, all the inyanim of tshuva. And this is pshat where the Megala Mukhs explains, he tried to what? To take away Elul and Rosh Hashanah. And the tikkun for this is David HaMelech, David HaMelech, David HaMelech. Yeah? So this, Rabbi, is a tremendous lesson. I think it's a tremendous thing that we have to learn. If we understood the true Asmelech, we understood how the Rebbeinu Shalom is really dear to us and he has love for us to the point that we're able to constantly do tshuva. Yeah? It's a gift. It's a tremendous gift. And this is something that we have in our tchuna. That we fall, we pick ourselves up right away. We fall, we pick ourselves up. Sichon and Oig was kashin. They tried to take away the Elul and Tishrei, the tshuva. So they were worse than Pari. That's the pshat and the chazal I began with. Why are they worse than Pari? Kasha was much worse. And who says Shiru?
David.
HaMelech. Dafke David says the Shiru. Bepeh. Because David HaMelech was about tefillah. Mani tefillah. Mani tefillah. Mani tefillah. David HaMelech was about tefillah. They try to take away, and like the Megalamuka says, the Kriyashma, the tefillah. That's why they want to put Parshas Bilam back into where? Back into Kriya Shema and Tefillah. Abai said, the schus that we have Kriya Shema and Tefillah. We can daven to Hashem. You know, I to pointed out something. Shabbos pointed out that with this I'll end. You know, Tefillah is supposed to be literally. Whenever I need, whenever I want, whenever something bothers me or hurts me, I talk back on Zohar. They say over for a Pchatsky or Abramsky that whenever something bothered, he would turn to Hashem. He would say, Abba, Koevli, I have a headache. Hashem. He would talk, that's how we talk to Hashem. I'm cold. He used to talk like that. Why is something? I'm cold. No, he used to walk in. Something bothered him. He would say, you know, Tat's bothering. Talk to Abishan.
So
Pashin. Truas Melech Bai. Yeah. I want to tell you, I noticed that in Europe, it's maybe, I don't know if you'll appreciate what I'm saying, but those that had, you know, from the Litvish background, Chassidish backgrounds, whenever something bothered a person, he would be gonech. Gonech is to krechts. Oh. And you know what he would say? Tata zisafat. Tata zisafat.
Tata zisafat.
Means Abba hamatok. Abba matok. You know what it is? There was a certain tzimut, pashtut. Talking to Hashem. Today, when something bothers you, you right away call the lawyer. It's a whole different way of thinking. It's a whole different way of maybe you say, oh God, maybe Chveis, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's at least a something. It's better than nothing. The point being that Bilam was jealous at this connection that Klal Yisrael had. He knew that he was great. He knew he was able to talk to Hashem. Yet he just didn't, he wasn't able to do it. Capable, but not able. That's the key word. He was capable, but he wasn't able. And therefore he ran into the chayshach, he ran into the depths of abuse, of ksamim, of magic, and then all the stupidity of the world. I want to show you another point, maybe, and then we'll end. You know, last week's parasha, we find in a chas and a chayshas. It's an interesting thing, huh? Whoever looked at it got healed. Tell me, son, what is the ultimate destruction? This destruction of life in this world. No, the Nachash. The Nachash was the one that was Gair Misa. You want to know something? Most of the Nachash is venom and poison and snake. It's the worst, right? Okay. Yet, when it came to Refuah, he used the Nachash and Nachash. No. He used the Nachash. Why? So this is very interesting. Zaya. The Zaya says that when you looked at the Nachash and the Chayshis, it reminded you to daven. Remind you to daven. I want you to know that most medicine today is antidote from the poison itself. It's like a Mayurdika thing. They give you the poison. They take the poison and they give it to you. What's the pshat? It comes from this yisod, nachash and nachash. You know where what the yisod is? La nachash meimis. El ached meimis. This is the yisod. Yeah. The main ingredient is the poison itself. You want to heal a guy? Give him the poison. Do you know that when you want to heal cancer, they give you chemotherapy? Chemotherapy is poison that the body can't be saved. And that's the refuah. Why? They're trying to teach a person. The lesson of a person is Hashem is the roif of the marpe. Don't go after all the asavim. Balak went after all the asavim. Yeah, that's how you give polio, all these things. They feed you polio. To teach you this lesson, it's not the poison. It's not the sickness that kills. It's if you don't have Hashem with you, it's going to kill you. And if Hashem wants, the poison's going to kill you. It's going to be marpi. It'll heal you. If Hashem wants, the nachash and nachashis, the nachash, that's the ultimate of death, the symbol of death. You know what's interesting? I was always thinking about it. You know, medical, what is the symbol of medical?
The
snake. And the stick. It's this, the symbol of medicine with Dairis is the snake that causes the poison and the death to the world. Pile play, huh? This Rabbi Isai is Bilam and Bala. Instead of turning to Hashem, which was Kaicham B'Pet, they could have done it. What did they turn to? They turned to Asavim and Hari Chayshich. That's what they turned to. This is blessed. Rabbi, I wish you a wonderful week.
First time Moshe Rabbeinu used cherem amiti.